Good morning.
Good morning,
and a very warm welcome as always to worship here at Water Lane. Welcome to people who will be listening to the service at Carr's Court, and of course welcome to people who will be listening to this in the recordings and catch up later on. Welcome to visitors, and this morning we want to say a very special welcome to Alice Gattoni. Alice, can you give us a wave? Thank you. Alice is visiting us. She's from Kenya originally. She's been doing studies in this country, I think leading to a PhD, I think. So we've been working with Alice through Wilmslow Wells for several years now, and she's wanted to come up to speak to us and say a few things and to share with people from Wilmslow Wells today. So there'll be a chance for people to meet her afterwards, and there'll be a chance to hear from her later in the service when she talks with Chris. And welcome to people who have come to be with Alice this morning, and we have a few visitors as well. You're all very welcome. Welcome also to our friends from Stile, who are here because of tragic circumstances in Stile Village. You may have noticed that in summer conditions, Stile and a few other places around here have got rather flooded. So our thoughts are very much with all people who've been affected by the flooding in this area, and especially our thoughts are with you. It's good to have you with us this morning, and I think it will be, I was going to say I fear, but I think it's going to be for the next few Sundays while Stile Church gets dried out. The only other notice I think to mention is to draw your attention to the film club this evening, which will be sometime. Does anybody know if it's 7:30? 7:30, and it's a film Separation about Iran. So that's the film club this evening at 7:30. I'm just getting a check from the choir. It only remains then for me to say that young people will be staying in the service, and they have busy bags, and I think they have things to stay in. It's lovely to welcome Chris Goddard back to lead our worship. Chris has been on a wonderful holiday, I think. You may mention it. It's lovely to have you back with us and to lead our service this morning, Chris.
Thank you. Good morning, and may I add my thanks to Dave and welcome to everyone who's visiting us today. It's lovely to have visitors with us. And as we've heard from the notices, even though it's August, life goes on, doesn't it? Things are happening, even though we sort of have a bit of a slower time in church during August. So, welcome to worship. Today we are reflecting on what Jesus might mean when he says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." It's a challenging message, but let's see how we get where we get to by the end of the service. So to help us prepare and settle our minds for worship, the choir are going to have a little rest today. We're going to listen to a piece of music from one of my new favourite choirs that I listen to quite by chance. It's from the University of Johannesburg, and they are going to sing. They are singing on this track a piece called "Indusendela Kue." I've probably said that in the wrong way, but you'll hear it on the track. And the words are, "I will draw near to you. I will praise you, Lord God, most holy. You deserve the praise. Amen. Alleluia." And as we listen, perhaps in our hearts, we give thanks and praise for the things that we treasure most in our lives. Thanks, John. It isn't a silent track, but we can just sit quietly and just collect our thoughts while John gets the track on. Perhaps in our hearts we say those words, "I will draw near to you, I will praise you, Lord God most holy, you deserve the praise. Amen. Alleluia." I can play it from here, John, if you... John, hope you think it was worth the wait. And so let's offer our own worship now as we stand and sing hymn 470, Lord, for the years. Let's bring our thanks, our praise and our prayers and ourselves as we stand and sing. Please be seated. And now we come to God in prayer. Let's approach God in prayer. Lord God, most holy God, we draw near to you and praise you as we meet together for this act of worship. Help us to remember that you are here with us through your Holy Spirit. And may we pray to you in faith. May we sing your praise with gratitude and listen to your word with eagerness. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So just to introduce this subject of treasure, I'm wondering, does anybody watch the programme The Repair Shop? Nods? No? Well, Roger and I are addicted. We watch it all the time. For those that have never watched it, it's a programme where people bring their treasured possessions, but often these treasured possessions are battered and bruised or broken, and they come to this shed, I think it's somewhere in Suffolk somewhere, and it's set up by the BBC, obviously, but there's an incredible team of people there that work on all kinds of objects to restore them and bring them back to life. People bring musical instruments, clocks, bits of china, teddy bears and toys, chairs. So many things are brought to this shed to be repaired. And they're all treasure that seem to possibly have a connection with family or loved ones. You know, that they're very treasured things that these people will bring along. I've chosen a clip for us to watch this morning. It's a bit unseasonal because it's actually from a Christmas episode, so don't start thinking about Christmas yet. But anyway, it's about two sisters who've brought this thing called a polyphon. I didn't know what a polyphon was, but it's in a cabinet and it has a big wheel and it plays tunes. And so it seems that this polyphon hasn't played for about 30 years, and I can't show the whole clip, it would be too long, but this is the bit where they come back and it's been repaired. If we can get it.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks.
Hello, and I'm Steve. Nice to meet you.
Are you repairing?
Yeah, I am, yes.
So you ready to see this?
Yeah. Excited.
Excited. Do the honors, Steve, go on.
Okay, here we go then. Right. There we are. And of course, the main purpose of this is to produce music.
Yes. I brought some pennies with me in case you didn't have one.
Oh, no, this is a penny. Would you like to?
Shall I do the honours? I haven't done this for a long, long time. I'm so excited.
You ready?
Yes. Oh, here it goes.
Moved me so much, because the last time I heard it playing, I think it was about 1985.
As long as that.
Yeah, yeah. So it just brought so many memories back of my dad playing it.
It sounded more beautiful than I remembered.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. I've still got tears in my eyes.
Well, it's a special sound, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yes. Yeah. And everyone who hears it always remembers it.
Yeah.
And asks about it, and if we've still got it, and if it's still working.
And if it's still working, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is now.
It's wonderful. Now. Thank you, Kevin, so much.
Yeah. It's been an absolute joy to work on this one. Would you agree, Steve?
I would. It's a privilege. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
Merry Christmas.
And to you.
And a Happy New Year. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Steve. Thank you ever so much.
It's been wonderful.
It gets you, doesn't it? A lot of them are so like that. You know, it was plain to see how much it meant to those two ladies to have that polyphon working again. And also you could see all the people in the workshop are so involved, you know, with the story. And the Prepare Shop is such a lovely feel-good programme. And you know, and the experts, the love and care they take over, the restorations. And it's just a good antidote to this throwaway culture that, you know, perhaps many of us have been grown up in. But here's the thing, as much as I love this programme, and I will continue to watch it, what it does flag up is just how much attachment we can put onto possessions, doesn't it? And however splendid or beautiful or necessary some things are, it's just stuff. And in the end, they can wear out and they can get damaged. And not only that, we can worry about our possessions, can't we? And sometimes we keep them under lock and key for fear of anything happening to them, so we don't enjoy them either. Our gospel reading today from Luke tells us what Jesus has to say about our treasures and possessions. And this is part of a long teaching and preparation that Jesus and his disciples are having as they journey towards Jerusalem. So Jesus has just reminded his disciples that if God cares for the birds and the flowers, how much more will God care for his disciples, who are destined to receive the kingdom of God? And that's in the previous verses that we're going to hear. But our first reading will be from Genesis, where Abraham is also worrying about his possessions and who will inherit them, because so far he has no heir. But God says to him, don't worry about that. Trust me, come outside, look at the stars. It's as if he's saying, look at the bigger picture. And in both readings, we hear the words, do not be afraid, trust in God. Have confidence that God will provide for those who are ready to receive him. Thanks. I'm not sure who's doing our... We'll have them now.
Please, thank you.
Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 to 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look towards the heaven and count the stars if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness.
Our gospel is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 32 to 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour.
Thank you both very much for those readings. We're going to say our prayers again. We're also going to include a song from the Teze community. We're going all over the world this morning with our music. And it's hymn number 776 in the book, if you're following the books. And it's a chant, a Teze chant, that's in the says, I'm the Lord, I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord, I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. So echoing the words of those readings. And we're going to sing it three times, at the beginning, once in the middle, and once at the end. And I will signify in the middle when to sing with the words, in the Lord I'll be ever thankful. So Avril, shall we sing it through first? Please stay seated while we sing and pray. Thank you for the new day you have given us, for the opportunities it brings, the things we will enjoy in it, the times we will share with others and with you, O Lord. We thank you for the beauty that we see in the world around us, the people we will meet and the life we will live. We praise you that you are always looking to bless us, to celebrate life in all its fullness, however hard that may be for us sometimes. In the Lord, I'll be ever thankful. Forgive us, Lord, that sometimes we fail to count our blessings. We are too ready to look to the negative rather than the positive. We let familiarity blind us to our good fortune and fail to thank you for your many gifts to us. Forgive us that we fail to make the most of all we have received, perhaps seeking more and more, instead of appreciating what we have, sometimes even squandering inheritances rather than using it wisely. Loving God, receive our confession, assure us once more of your loving mercy, your constant forgiveness, and your continuing love, and teach us to accept everything you have given us with heartfelt gratitude, showing our thanks not just in words, but in our daily living, in celebrating and sharing the life we have been given. Loving God, receive our worship in the name of Christ. In the Lord, I'll be ever thankful. So as you've gathered, I'm going to mainly focus on the text from Luke this morning, Treasures of the Heart. So there's a theory that you can tell what is really important to a person by how they spend their money. And maybe that's by looking at the bank account or the credit card statement. Ooh, that's private, of course. And of course, some people have more excess cash to spend than others. And I assure you, this isn't a sermon that the treasurer has asked me to preach this morning. I'm basically, this is from the text that we have this morning. But of course, money and living, whatever is true for us today, was also true for us in the first century, in different ways, of course. So I want us to look at the concept first, at the context of the passage, and exploring what life is like when Luke was writing about this, the life and work of Jesus. And then we'll look at how we can apply it to the 21st century. So the disciples at this time were part of this tiny growing community of followers of Christ, of Jesus. He wasn't Christ at that time, he was Jesus, in a large, hostile Roman world where it must have been very easy to feel afraid. So this was a world where greed and power and anxiety prevailed. Does that sound familiar? And Jesus says to his little flock, as he often did, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." To give you the kingdom. So that's a great responsibility to receive the kingdom. And first, and Jesus uses three ways in that passage to help the disciples understand the value and priority of God's kingdom, this kingdom that they will receive after the death of Jesus, of course. It's their responsibility to bring the kingdom in this new way. And he's saying how they might make some adjustments to their way of living. So first he talks about money. Sell your possessions. And actually, if you look at something like the Amplified Bible, it will also say to show compassion. So sell your possessions. Can we have the reading up, John, if it's possible? So can we have the reading up if it's possible? Thank you. So to sell your possessions and give alms. So giving alms is giving donations to those in need. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure. And that could also be an inexhaustible treasure. Treasure in heaven where no thief can come near, no moth destroy. And these words come in verse 34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So when he's referring to purses that the disciples carry, we have to imagine there were no pockets in the garments then, so they would carry money in purses. So he reminds them that these purses will wear out, and any hard-won cash that the disciples may have would fall out, maybe, through the holes, or someone might pinch it. So why not use the money for the good of others, for helping others, to bring in the values of God, to help in this mission of God to try and bring justice and healing to those in need. So So when Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, what he might be saying is that we can train our wills and our ways of thinking through the way we use our money. So spend it all on yourself, guess where your heart will go. Give it to those in need, your heart will go to where God wants it to go. And moreover, your heart may and will find God in the process. So there's this sacramental aspect to charity in which God becomes present to givers through those who receive and need the gifts. So sacraments are where God is present in the things that we do, if we're offering them to God. To give you an example of this, there's a book by a lady called Anne Morrissey, and it's called Beyond the Good Samaritan. It was a book studied in the theology book club, actually, a couple of years ago. And Anne Morrissey is a missioner, and she very much is focusing on community mission, so mission in the community. And it's more than giving donations, it's more than giving money, it's actually where you put yourself in the community and you do some kind of community work. And she writes about a group who got involved with some debt counselling. And it's probably much like the Christians Against Poverty schemes that we have. And actually Dave Warnock is trying to set one of these up in Withenshaw at the moment. And what these people found was, at first, they used to go on a Saturday morning and meet people and give them advice about debt, etc. And then they found the need was more and more, so they opened up other meeting places. And so what they found was that through working in this way, they started to notice signs for, you know, offering loans. They started big, brash sales signs, you know, people to spend their money, and people offering credit to people. They started to notice all this stuff more and more. And what happened to them was it affected their own spending. So they started to look at how they were spending money. And so it had an impact on the people doing the giving, if you like. And so much so, they wanted then to take action on the loan sharks who were taking money off people. So in this way, this describes the idea of giving alms that Jesus is talking about. So it's more than writing checks out of surplus income. It's getting involved, hands-on, getting involved. And so almsgiving is an expression of true solidarity, if you like, with those that you are helping. And it's bringing the hearts of the giver in line with the heart of God. And I'm very much aware as I speak this morning, I know there are loads of people here who work in this way in the community, in charities, and maybe this is your experience too as you work with people. So the second thing Jesus is talking about is this active waiting. Many early Christians were slaves and would have known all about waiting anxiously for the master to come home from a party or something. And, you know, what would he be like when he came home? Would he be drunk? Would he be violent? And he would certainly be expecting immediate attention. So the story Jesus tells here would take their breath away, really, because he says when God comes to bring in the kingdom, he will tell the slaves to sit down and he will serve them himself, dressed for action. In some translation, it's the belt fastened, and that means dressed for action, to care for them. And this was such a radical, extreme role reversal that might have caused a laugh out loud response in that day. And yet, when we remember the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples, what did he do? He knelt down and he washed their feet, didn't he, with the towel round his waist. He knelt at the feet of the disciples. The master took the role of the servant and washed their feet. And this is the topsy-turvy world of God's kingdom. That we should love our neighbour enough to serve them as our equal. And third and finally, this is perhaps a tricky bit, and I'm not sure if I've got the right understanding myself. Jesus tells another parable about being alert, but the way I interpret it is this way, that on a worldly level, to be alert to those who want to come in and steal our possessions. So in the days of Jesus, poor people's houses were vulnerable. They were made of mud walls maybe, and they were easy to kick in and break into. So people had to take precautions. So Jesus' point was, if householders take care to avoid problems with their houses, how much more should the disciples be alert and ready for the good news of the coming of the Son of Man? Can come at any time. Because when you have an encounter with Jesus, you also need to be ready, because this can be disruptive. Think of Paul. Many of us have been reading through the book of Acts. Think of the story of Paul, how disruptive that was to his life, in a good way. But after that encounter, what we do have through faith is this assurance of his presence through the indwelling of the Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock. Things happen, but I will be with you." Just to finish, I'll give you a story that I read about, an article about Anne Graham Lotz, and she's the daughter of Billy Graham, the evangelist. And she was speaking about taking her children on a celebration meal at the end of school. At the end of the school year, they went out to have a meal. And when Anne and the children came back, they found the front door broken down and the house had been ransacked. Perhaps it's happened to some of us here. It certainly happened to us in our house. A lot of treasures had been taken, including items of personal and sentimental value. They were never recovered. And Anne said that she lay in bed that night and she ran over in her mind all the things that she'd lost. But then she began to think about what the thieves had not taken. Her children were okay, her husband was okay. No damage had been done, no one had been hurt. And what she said was, they hadn't taken her faith or her relationship with Jesus. And as she reflected on this, she drifted off to sleep and slept soundly all night. She had lost very valuable earthly treasures, but nothing could take away her treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We're going to sing again now. We're going to sing number 508. Purify my heart. And perhaps as we sing this song, we may ask ourselves, what do I treasure? Where is my heart? Thanks, Apple. Let's stand and sing. treasured possessions. We've spoken about treasures of the heart. And I want to speak about how we share the treasure. How do we establish this idea of storing treasure in heaven? Tom Wright assures us that when Jesus speaks of treasures in heaven, here and elsewhere, that doesn't mean treasure that you only possess after you've died. Heaven is God's sphere of created reality, which, as the Lord's Prayer suggests, will be done on earth. And when we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," isn't it through each one of us that the kingdom might come? What matters is that we share the treasure that we have, be that gifts, be that time, be it money. We share it with others, and to help bring that little bit of heaven to somebody else's world. I want to invite Alice to come up and speak to us now. And I'm very intrigued to know why Alice is here with us today. Well, I do know why she's here, but I want her to tell you why she's here today. So, Alice, why are you in Wilmslow today? I think this is on. Do you want to hold that? Yeah. Yes.
So, hello, everyone. Well, thank you. I'm visiting. Jenny and her husband Richard have been gracious enough to allow me to put up in their house, but I was coming to visit with the trustees of Wilmslow Wells for Africa. Many of them, I think, worship here. So I was coming to meet with them over lunch this afternoon.
Okay, thank you. It's all right, you can hold on to that. So we've got some pictures up here. Can you tell us what's going on in this picture?
So that's me.
Yeah.
As Jenny and Dave explained earlier, I'm from Kenya. And this is in 2016. This is a school. By then it was a unit for children with special needs. Like you can see, they're on wheelchairs. So mostly children and young adults with cerebral palsy and muscular dystrophy. So I worked, before I started my studies, I worked as a teacher for about 15 years, trained to work with them in the classroom. But after that, I was deployed on promotion by the government. I worked for the government of Kenya by then. I was deployed to coordinate special needs education in the county. I think in this country, it's the equivalent of a SENCO, special needs coordinator. So this is one of the schools that I worked with. And when I left for my studies, I started, I wanted to further my skills in working, because when I became a SENCO, I realized that I didn't have skills to work with children beyond what I had been trained for. So I had initially been trained to work with children with cerebral palsy and physical disabilities in general. But when I became a coordinator, I didn't have the skills to work with children who have learning disabilities and all the other types of disabilities. So I needed to go and further my studies. So in 2011, when I was leaving for further studies, the first time I left the country, I did a small party with all the schools that I worked with, generally the children, the teachers, and their parents. And the last thing that one of them prayed over my life, and he lay his hands on me and said, in our language, he said, "We are blessing you and we pray that you will not..." So I'm paraphrasing in our language. So he said, "We are praying that God will allow that you do not just use one, you do not just take one flight, that you will use, you will have many, many flights." So that you'll be flying here. According to them, they saw the aeroplanes. Yeah. So you'll be flying past here many, many times. But when you go, don't forget us. So that was heavy. So every time I go back, I don't forget them. I visit them back in the village. And generally not with anything, I just want to see them, because I have not forgotten what they told me. But not only for that, I have always known my heart was in serving children and young people with disabilities. So I visit every holiday, that is April, August and December. And I try very hard to make sure that I go before the schools are closed. So this was 2016 in April, the one that I had the water on my back. And I didn't know that I knew there was a drought, but I didn't know it was very bad. So when I arrived in the school, the house mothers were not there. The teachers were not there. The children were outside sprawled, but they can't do anything, waiting. So I waited for 1 hour, and I didn't know where they were. Some of the children don't speak, so I waited and just was there with them. After about 1 hour, the house mothers came with the waters. And so they told me what had been happening. So they had gone to collect water in a dam, and it's water rainwater that collects in a dam when it rains. So this was the remaining, and it was an hour away from the school. That's why I had to wait for 1 hour. So after they had cooked and fed the children, I told them, I want to accompany you and see where you are getting the water. So that's why I had the water on my back. Okay. So that was 2016. And
is this school, where is it? Is it near Nairobi?
It is down in the Rift, in between the Rift Valley and Central Province in a county called Nyandarua County. And so from that time, I started thinking about a solution. And when I came back, so I'm based at Milton Keynes. When I came back, I started just talking with people in the church, and I said, I have this need that I need help. So in the process of talking, one of the ladies in the church said, I know of somebody who restores wells in Kenya. Mm-hmm. So she introduced me to this person whom she knew when she worked for the Scripture Union. But when I met this person who was very helpful, he said he does not work in that part of the country. But he said he was going to introduce me to other people who help him, who fund the projects
so
that he does.
So is that how you came into contact?
That's
with
how I came in contact, yes.
Okay.
That's how I, yeah.
So how did you feel when you found a charity that could help you?
To be honest, it was not very easy before I got to get the funding for the school, because I think they do a lot of due diligence, which is very good.
Yes.
So they took time, and after some times when they had developed confidence with me and with what I was telling them that. So they funded the first project, and from that one they funded another one,
so this
and then another
the first one.
So that was
it?
The first one.
And there have been two more since?
There have been two more, yeah. All in special schools, yeah.
Okay.
So this is me with the head teacher. After we had gotten the tank, I was very happy.
Last year. This is a water tank.
So that's a water tank that was funded, 10,000 liters. That's a big thing for the school. And I went there last year. So like I go every year. So before the school's closed, I took a picture. And that's Esther, the head teacher. And she has been very excited, and the school was very happy. And things have changed in the school. It's so different now.
Well, and just quickly, in what way has the water helped?
One of the things is, like I said earlier, many of them are incontinent, so they don't have bowel control. So that has really helped the house mothers, and they don't have to worry about where is the water coming from. When it comes to issues of cooking and cleaning, it has really improved. So hygienically, and even the house mothers, you can imagine when they have to go for 1 hour on the back to get the water, and 24/7 they are with these young adults who are incontinent. They have to feed them, they have to cook for them all. So it's a lot of improvement that sometimes you cannot see physically, but if you know, or you've worked or lived with a person with disability who is incontinent, then you understand how big that is. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming to share and to coming to visit us.
Yeah,
and I believe, have you just finished your PhD then?
Yes, I did.
Oh my goodness. I think
I passed my PhD last year.
Yeah. Well, bless you. Bless you for coming to share with us, and bless your work. And I'm sure God will continue to bless that as you go. Are you going back to Kenya?
So I'm still around within the UK, but yeah, I do hope to go back. But
right.
I'm currently around. So I'm visiting today. I'm meeting with some of the trustees,
yes.
And then after that, I'll be going. But I'm still within the UK for now.
Great.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you'll be around after the service if people want to talk to you.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for contributing as well.
So I just know that probably everybody in this congregation sitting here today will have had some involvement in getting water to those places, either through eating or drinking soup, making soup, going round gardens, making teas and cakes, or just giving money. It's obviously a charity very dear to the heart of Wilmslow, and people very active in this church that are involved. So, bless you all for being part of that. So it's great that Alice has come to show us, the results of that work. And, as I've said, bringing a little bit of heaven to that part of the world and also affecting us as the givers. And as I've said earlier, I know there are many other projects that people are involved with, and, we just pray for God's blessing on all of those as we go faithfully forward with those projects. We're going to sing a hymn by our president from last year, Michaela Youngson. As Dave pointed out, it has quite a gloomy title, but I assure you the words are very encouraging. And it's the sense, I heard her speak about this hymn, it's a sense of when the Spirit is with you, it brings the world from black and white into colour. So it makes the colours sing. So, and it's to a well-known tune, you will know the tune. Thank you, Avril. Let's stand and sing. I realise I forgot to announce the offertory for that hymn, so we'll take it during the last hymn, so if you want to be ready for that. Before we say our prayers for others, I have a message via Katie, and it's from the community of Whaley Bridge. As we know, people have been suffering with floods and been out of their homes. And it's a message from, who's it from? It's from Keith. It's from Keith. I'm not sure I've got his second name. Does anybody know Keith's second name in Whaley Bridge? Anyway, what is it? Keith Bamford, thank you. And it's a message that says this: thank you to every church community who prayed for Whaley Bridge this week. This week has been extraordinary. On behalf of the ecumenical community in the village, I would like to thank you for your prayers. The rain held and the emergency services worked sacrificially to keep our village safe. We would like to thank you for your thoughts and prayers and for your continued prayers for neighbouring communities who have also been disrupted by flooding. The community was repatriated yesterday, so this was written on the 9th of August, this message. We are deeply thankful to return home without loss of life, and this is because of the amazing response of the government service. I saw a Facebook post a while back aimed at parents raising siblings. The advice was to treat children like suns, moons and stars, knowing that in their own time they will shine. Please never compare or underestimate your community or your church's ability to shine. We worry about our future and ministry, but please be encouraged by this fundamental truth: moons, stars and suns always shine. Keep shining in your local communities, and again, thank you for helping the Whaley Bridge Uniting Church and Fernley Church shine and our communities shine this week. Many blessings, Reverend Keith. What a wonderful message from that community. And as we've seen on the TV, how they've all pulled together. So let's now keep remembering them in our prayers as we pray for others as well. Let us pray. And when I say, your kingdom come, will you please respond, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So this morning we pray for those who are in need and need to be remembered. We pray for those who have made the news headlines today or in the week because of what they have done or said or things that have happened. We continue to pray for that community in Whaley Bridge. There are typhoons in China and maybe other things that you may wish to lift to God this morning. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And we pray for those who have been brought to our attention through a meeting or a conversation. News of people who are sick or need help. Those chance conversations we have when we find out about people in need. Let's bring those people to God this morning. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And we lift up those who are in hospital, in care, or in a place which is strange to them. We think of those in our church community who are in care homes or in hospital at this time. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray for those who are waiting for a birth, or maybe a death. or news which will affect their lives. We lift them up to God in prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, we believe that you hear our prayers and will be faithful to your promise to answer us. And when our eyes open again, may they do so not to end our devotions, but to expect your kingdom for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to finish our worship with a golden oldie, but I thought it'd be good to sing, "We are marching in the light of God. We are living in the love of God, and we are moving in the power of God." And we might just have some words that we could say at the end. Is it Siahamba? Is those on the screen? Anyway, let's stand and sing and make a joyful noise. We are marching in the light of God. And please can we take our offertory during the last hymn? Please remain standing while we bring our offertory. Okay, thank you. Gracious God, we bring our gifts to you out of gratitude of all that you give to us. We ask you to bless them and guide the use of them in this place, in this community, to bring your healing love and restoration to a broken world. And now may we go into the world and share the treasure of justice. May we unfold the treasure of service. And may we proclaim the treasure of love. And may we be held by the treasure of grace. Amen. Amen.